years, managing money for the Wall Street elite and raising hundreds of millions for their companies. In 2003, I created the VRA, my investment and economic newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. We're not a brokerage firm. I tell you what stocks to buy using my proprietary VRA investing system, and then I tell you exactly when to sell and take profits. My system tracks the smart money using a combination of fundamental and technical analysis and only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership to the VRA. You get my daily market commentary and special reports, including my number one recommendation, which is already up 300% this year. To receive your two free weeks, go to VRAinsider.com. That's VRAinsider.com. If you act now, you also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. I look forward to helping you crush Mr. Market at VRAinsider.com.
Stephen Williford talked with ABC affiliate 4029 to discuss what was going through his mind every time you heard a gunshot.
I kept hearing the shots, one after another, very rapid shots, just pop, pop, pop. And I knew every one of those shots represented someone.
Williford said he was terrified but knew he had to do something.
I was scared for me, and I was scared for every one of them. And I was scared for my own family that just lived less than a block away.
As to those claims that he's a hero?
My God, my Lord, protected me and gave me the skills to do what needed to be done.
And finally, Netflix subscribers, listen up. There's a new scam going around, folks trying to get your billing information. Fairly sophisticated, according to many cybersecurity experts. You're given a link or emailed a link, which then takes you to a new page. This started happening last week, and many people are getting caught up in it, so be aware. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get the best night's sleep of your life with a MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code USA, and you'll get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows. MyPillow.com, promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. 100% machine washable, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. How can you lose? Go to MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
The VA secretary is speaking out about the Texas shooter. Correspondent Lori Lewis has the details.
Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs David Shulkin said Monday that the man accused of killing 26 people and injuring 20 others when he opened fire on the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, Sunday, does not deserve the title of veteran.
I do not consider him a veteran. That would give him much more respect than he deserves.
26-year-old Devin Patrick Kelly joined the Air Force in 2010 and served in logistics readiness at Holman Air Force Base in New Mexico. He was court-martialed in 2012 for a domestic violence accusation. He received a bad conduct discharge, confinement for 12 months, and a reduction in rank. Speaking from the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., Shulkin marked a difference between a dishonorable or bad conduct discharge and an other-than-honorable discharge. The VA under Shulkin has worked to improve access to care for veteran service members discharged with an other-than-honorable status. Shulkin called him a criminal and an evil person. Kelly reportedly killed himself after fleeing the scene.
Chuck Norris says he's giving up his action movie career so he can campaign against what he believes are the dangers of MRI scans. Now, his wife Gina was given a chemical before having an MRI scan for arthritis, and ever since she's been in the hospital and has severe pain and weakness. Norris, who is 77, and his wife recently sued medical device manufacturers over that same chemical used in MRI scans.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, Scott Husing will share with us about Save the Brave Foundation. Then author Jim Corrigan will discuss his excellent book entitled The Desert Storm Air War. And naturally, we'll then discuss Service Academy football. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's an honor to welcome to Frontlines of Freedom retired Marine Major Scott Husing. Scott's a very active guy. He does all kinds of talking. He's an author. He's finishing up a book that I want him to talk about a little bit. And he's the executive director of Save the Brave Foundation. Welcome aboard, Scott.
Thanks for having me on the show, Denny. I really appreciate it.
Scott, start by telling us about your story as the Marines. When did you join? Why did you join? What'd you do?
Well, I joined the Marine Corps. I enlisted in 1989 after high school. Not having college prospects on the horizon, the Marine Corps seemed to be a natural fit for me. Throughout my young life, I tended to lead a lifestyle of risky behavior. And when I was introduced into the world of the Marine Corps, I thought it was no better fit, and these guys were like the biggest risk takers I ever met. So it was a natural fit for me, and I enlisted. And after serving time on active duty, participated in Operation Desert Shield and Desert Storm, I decided that I absolutely needed to get my degree, went to college, and then came back into the Marine Corps as an officer. So I'm a Mustang. And after 24 years of service and 10 deployments, I decided to retire, and it's been an amazing journey, and I've been really blessed to meet so many great people during my time in the military, both Army, Marines, service-wide. It's been a real honor and privilege not only to be a Marine but also to lead our nation's finest men and women in combat, and I think that's something I've never taken for granted, so I'm very privileged.
You must have been a grunt like I was because you commanded Echo Company, and you're writing a book about that. So considering the fact that we just talked about another Echo Company in the Vietnam War, sounds like Echo Companies are companies to stay away from if you don't like intense combat. Tell us the story.
Well, it is a great story, Denny. I was very privileged to write this book, Echo and Ramadi, which comes out February 20th, 2018. And the story of Echo Company in Ramadi, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines, in the winter of 2006 and the spring of 07 is really a story of collective discipline that turned out to be this series of events that were comprised of life-saving vigilance and patience and love and resolve that was demonstrated by young Marines that possessed this amazing sense of personal character. And they lived under the worst conditions, and they fought in this environment of uncertainty, but with certain danger all around them.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Major Scott Husing. So what you're doing now is getting those thoughts down in real good English words, the kind of thing that will pass a publisher's requirement. I know I had to do that when I wrote a book. So that it can be published and be a good book. And it'll be out in February of next year, right?
Correct. Yeah, February 20th it'll be on bookshelves everywhere, Barnes & Noble, and it's available now on Amazon for your audience that's interested in getting a pre-order copy. And it's just a great story. It's a nonfiction story. It's my story, but it's also the story of of the Marines and their families as they fought. It's the story of brotherhood and shared adversity and a compacted 10-month snapshot in time that I use as a porthole to not only help the Marines, you know, deal with what they went through, but graphically depict the excitement that really is only known to those who survived the intensity of fighting in urban combat, which you fully know with your experience in Vietnam. The book was really written to honor the sacrifice and the spirit of my Marines and the families that support us, not only as we fought, but the families that still support us to this day, and the Marines, because we still remain so inextricably connected. This book, Echo and Ramadi, is really my tribute to them, and I'm just honored and humbled to tell this great story so readers on every level, not military readers, but every reader will feel the pain and the emotion and the laughter at sometimes during the hardest times, and in the intensity and the friction that I try to describe in unvarnished detail when I write, because I like to write about the feeling and the emotion. I don't care so much about events and things as I do about how it felt. And it's all about the feeling to me. If you want to read about things or events, you generally pick up a newspaper to read those facts.
Or a history book, but, yeah.
Yeah, right. So as I told this story, it was very important to me. And although some time had passed, I think that the time to write this book, Echo and Ramadi, was the right time, because it took almost a decade for the pain to abate for most of my Marines and the families to process and come to grips with everything they dealt with in combat and the aftermath of war that followed, and some of the terrible tragedies that we had to endure through the loss of some of our Marines to suicide from post-traumatic stress. Yep. So those interviews, you know, would have been different 10 years ago. The stories probably would have been repressed, and I don't think the honesty would have come through because it would have been tainted by some survivor's guilt that a lot of our veterans deal with.
I understand that totally. Scott, we just only got a minute left. We haven't talked about Save the Brave yet. Take a minute and talk to us about that.
So Save the Brave is a certified 501c3. It's a 100% nonprofit organization that connects veterans through outreach programs to build strength of character. It was founded by one of my junior Marines as we fought in Ramadi in 2006, Nick Velez. He's a successful businessman now, and he brought me on board as the executive director to bring some leadership to the organization. And since then, we've helped hundreds of veterans. And what's important to note, too, Denny, is Save the Brave is 100% nonprofit. None of us take a single penny for salary. Everything goes back to the vets to support them through outreach programs, whether it's offshore fishing trips or retreats or providing money to other charities. It's important to us that we connect and stay as close to the Marines and the veterans and have this boots on the ground mentality. So we're very attuned with what their needs are. We're very fortunate too to have a team of supporters that provide services to us, because we know what we're good at and we know what we're not good at. But we're lucky when we see a veteran at one of the outreach events who may need some help. We have resources that we can provide them that are the resident experts to give them the services they need. So it's been a great few years for us, and we're continuing to grow at the right rate, and we just continue to have as much support as possible. And if your audience is interested, they can go to www.savethebrave.org and find out more about the organization. And we don't always necessarily want a big check. I think some people think that that's what supporting an organization is all about, but it's also giving of your time or your services that really make a difference. And that giving of your time is really what I like to call putting some skin in the game. That is what is so important to help these veterans heal and deal with some of the things that they're processing after they leave the military service.
It's savethebrave.org, folks. I've been on that website. You want to go check it out. Scott, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation back on active duty, but thank you for what you're doing now.
Well, thank you, Denny. I appreciate it. And you are a brother. Any of us that have been through that chasm of war understand it fully. And I'm a big fan of the U.S. Army as I fought side by side with them in Ramadi. And I'm very, very honored and happy to be a part of your program today. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, we'll hear about the Desert Storm Air War. Then we'll discuss Service Academy football. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, hit the deck and do an easy, slow 30 one-handed push-ups with each hand. I want you lean and mean. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Most home invasions occur when people are at work between the hours of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Because of this, we highly recommend the installation of a home security video surveillance system. These systems are easy to install and cost only a few hundred dollars. They allow you to monitor your home while you're at work via your computer or cell phone. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Huntington County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Huntington Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. Now we're going to learn a bit more about another Middle East war, Desert Storm. Jim Corrigan has written an excellent book about the air war that took place. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom, Jim.
Thanks, Danny. It's great to speak with you.
Jim, this is a war I know something about. When Iraq invaded Kuwait to gain access to their oil, much of the world feared they'd continue south and take all or a part of Saudi Arabia. Well, we had a plan to stop them, and I helped write that plan. But the plan was to stop the Soviets from taking Saudi Arabia. Well, this plan was implemented as Desert Shield. We and many other nations moved forces and equipment into Saudi and to the area to create a real defense. And then, when we were ready, we went into the attack phase called Desert Storm. You're not a vet, but you certainly have captured the amazing details of the air war part of Desert Storm. Tell us about your background that prepared you to research and write this amazing book, because you really hit the nail on the head.
Thanks very much, Denny. You're right. I'm not a veteran. I'm a professional writer who very much enjoys telling the stories of veterans. And originally my plan was to do a magazine article for the 25th anniversary of Desert Storm a few years ago. But once I started talking to pilots and hearing their stories, I realized that there was just really a wealth of material here. I think because that war was so brief, it was here and gone before you knew it. And so a lot of the really amazing things that happened kind of got overlooked by history. So I wanted to help correct that with this book.
Well, obviously you knew what you were doing, and you must have talked to dozens and dozens of different people because, again, I wasn't there. I had retired from the Army by then. But I knew an awful lot about that war and how it was going to be conducted. And you taught me some things I didn't know, but made an awful lot of sense. It fit into the things I did know. I take it you did endless interviews.
Well, the thing is, you know, a lot of the pilots I spoke to, you know, they tell me an incredible story of, you know, flying over Baghdad, which at the time had really heavy air defenses. Baghdad in 1991 was more heavily defended than Hanoi was at the height of the Vietnam War. And so I'm thinking specifically here of an F-16 pilot that I interviewed. And, he described for me having just missile after missile coming at him. And he was able, fortunately, to evade those missiles. And, you know, at the end, I said, well, how many people have interviewed you for this story? And he said, you're the first. So I was really glad to be able to, you know, put that down into writing for him.
Well, that's awesome. You know, when we started the air war, there were American journalists in Baghdad. But once we started the air war, started attacking Iraq, they had to leave. And do you know that none of them would provide any insight into anti-aircraft positions or anything else to our military community? They all decided to stay neutral. That caused some problems for our pilots. And it's certainly a blot on the reputation of the mainstream media. Anyway, they were brave people. They were well-trained. They were well-equipped. And they had a heck of a job to do because the air war had to soften things up before we started the ground phase, right?
Right. Really, this war in particular, the air power showed its true value. It lived up to its true potential in terms of making a swift ground victory possible. For 6 weeks, you just had around-the-clock bombing campaigns. You know, it was not easy. I think a lot of people looking back think, oh, a 100-hour ground war, how difficult could it have been? But the 6 weeks preceding that, you know, featured a lot of hairy moments. And dozens of coalition aircraft were shot down, and really, the Iraqi air defense system, although it was definitely suppressed, it was never fully dismantled and remained dangerous until the end.
Yes, it was. And we hit them every kind of way you could. You're right. The ground war only lasted 100 hours. And one of the reasons was the air war had been so successful. We basically nailed them. The Iraqi military really couldn't move much of anything anywhere, could they?
No. The idea was to strike them everywhere at once. So you had on the opening night strikes taking place everywhere from the front lines right back into Baghdad.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're discussing the Desert Storm Air War with author Jim Corrigan. Jim, it wasn't just American pilots either, was it?
No. It was a large coalition. You know, we haven't seen a coalition of nations like that since 1991 for Desert Storm. So, you know, British, French, Italian pilots all participated. American aviators, of course, shouldered the bulk of the burden, but it was truly a coalition effort. We were talking about over 100,000 sorties were flown, and coalition pilots dropped 88,000 tons of bombs during those 6 weeks.
And most of them, all of them were targeted at either industry or military targets. We weren't trying to hit civilians or that sort of thing. But if when you're bombing, anybody can get in the way. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, absolutely. Extreme care was taken to limit civilian casualties. You know, unfortunately, there were some, of course. It's inevitable. But with laser-guided munitions and really good intelligence, they were able to limit civilian casualties. Main focus was on enemy forces, command and control, infrastructure, and Scud missile sites. The Scuds were a problem during that war, the ballistic missiles.
That's right. They were using missiles, too, occasionally. Indeed, what they were trying to do is get Israel involved, weren't they?
Right. Saddam's strategy was to provoke Israel in the hopes that Israeli forces would get involved in the war, at which point the coalition, which included a lot of Arab nations, might then balk at their commitment. So he was hoping to drive a wedge between the coalition nations, but that never happened.
No. Israel was smart enough to figure that one out. Frankly, I think everybody was able to figure it out. But it was worth a shot on Saddam's part, because if Israel had knee-jerked something out, it might have worked for him. You never know.
And the Scud missiles were not launched specifically at military targets. They were aimed at cities. You know, he was hoping to generate and casualties anywhere he could, Saddam. But fortunately, they weren't terribly accurate, and so they didn't inflict a whole lot of casualties.
Indeed. Troops, we're going to be giving away a copy of this book at the end of the show. Jim, how can listeners get a copy of this great book? I presume Amazon and a lot of other places?
It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's an e-book and then also a hardcover book. And if you're one of those people that still likes to go to an old-fashioned bookstore, if they don't have it on the shelves, they can order it for you.
The name of the book is The Desert Storm Air War, and he hits the nail right on the head. Thank you, Jim, for taking time to join us today. Thank you for documenting a very important part of the war that our nation conducted that was so short that nobody paid any attention to it. We really needed that, and you did the job. Thank you.
Thank you, Denny.
Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, it's time for Service Academy Football with co-host Quentin Roberts. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops do 20 pull-ups, all the way up and all the way down, nice and slow. Then take a break, do 20 more, then stand at ease, but stay in the area. I'll be right back. On Veterans Day, visit any of Spartan Nash's 159 grocery stores in 10 states, and all veterans and active duty service members will receive 11% off all regular priced items. To find a store near you, visit SpartanNash.com.
As the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and exchanges in the world, Spartan Nash is committed to supporting our military heroes, and this November 11th, we want to show our gratitude.
Thank you for your service.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
No, it's hard to envision a foolproof way
to prevent individual outrages.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, when being asked about the church shooting, which left 26 people dead and many more injured. McConnell also talks about the terror attack last week and if anything could have been done to prevent it.
Last week in New York, you had a person who figured out he could kill people by driving his automobile up on the sidewalk. It's a very, very challenging thing.
The FBI is investigating a pro-ISIS video that popped up on a hacked school website in New Jersey. Bloomfield, New Jersey school officials say the video was up on the website yesterday for about 2 hours before School Desk, the company that maintains the website, removed it. School Desk says about 800 schools and districts were hit after a rogue file was injected into one of the websites. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
For many businesses, hiring is tough, which makes it critical to choose the right place to post your jobs. You need qualified candidates fast and on budget, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Independent research shows Indeed delivers 6 times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and even set up screener questions to help you zero in on qualified candidates. You can review applicants, take notes, and schedule interviews, all from an easy-to-use online dashboard. For a limited time, Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to make their first job listing a sponsored job with premium visibility so more candidates will see it. You want to make a great hire fast, and this exclusive offer gives you a head start. Find out why over 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. To redeem this offer, go to Indeed.com/radio. That's Indeed.com/radio. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's great sponsors, Honor and Remember, and their national sponsor, Spartan Nash. If you know someone who died while wearing the uniform, while in service of our nation, contact Honor and Remember so they can be honored. It's honorandremember.org. Well, troops, you know that Army, Navy, and Air Force football teams are all doing their thing full time, and Quentin Roberts is joining us to talk about that. Welcome aboard, Quentin.
Hey, Denny, good to be with you. Big week for Air Force and Army.
Yeah, it's a big week this week. But last week, Army and Navy were just took some time off to goof off, right? And only Air Force had to get out there and play, but they won big, right?
They did, Denny. I tell you, Air Force suited up against the Colorado State Rams and were able to prevail 45-28 in Fort Collins, Colorado. Arian Werthmann, the quarterback, threw a 56-yard touchdown pass early in the fourth quarter, and Taven Burdow scored twice as Air Force's rushing attack kept Colorado State's high-powered offense grounded in a 45-28 win over the Colorado State Rams in Fort Collins, Colorado. Air Force opened the scoring, but Colorado State came back and tied it up and went ahead 14-7. At the half, however, Air Force had taken the lead with a Shaquille Vereen 30-yard pick six interception return for a touchdown as Air Force went up 28-21 at the half. Moving into the third quarter, both teams added on to that. Air Force was able to get a field goal, Colorado State a touchdown, and going into the fourth quarter, it was tight, 31-28. But then Ryan Reffitt caught that 56-yard pass from Arian Werthmann, and then Werthmann added on another touchdown with 3 minutes left to go in the game for the final score, 45-28. It was a good win for Air Force. When we look at it, they dominated the time of possession, 41 minutes to 38. They outgained Colorado State 477 yards to 435. But I always talk about the turnovers, Denny. And Colorado State committed three, Air Force one. So Air Force won the turnover game. And the total offense in terms of the stats, and they were able to prevail 45-28.
You know, it's about time a Service Academy team won by more than 3 or 4 points. So Air Force is leading the way on that.
Well, that's a good point, Denny. It's been some tight games this year. There really have been. And, you know, when you have a running team, you don't really pull away from teams. And so there have been some tight games. But fortunately, our teams have come out on the winning side more often than not this year.
They have indeed. And as I mentioned before, Army and Navy both had a bye last week. So if we look at this week is a big game for you and I. We get to be friends for all but about an hour and a half of it, right?
That's right, Denny. It's Beat Army Week, of course, for me. Beat Air Force Week for you. But more than anything, it really sets up as kind of the second game in the Commander-in-Chief's trophy round robin. Of course, Navy has already defeated Air Force, which has now put the Commander-in-Chief's trophy in play. Air Force won it last year, and the way it works is that if each team kind of beats another team, each team has one loss in the round robin, the Commander-in-Chief's trophy stays with the Service Academy that won it the previous year. They retain the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. So one team, in order to take it from them, one team has to win two games. So Navy has beaten Air Force, and if Navy then beats Army, they will win the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. If Army beats Air Force, then the Army-Navy game will truly be for kind of all the marbles in the Commander-in-Chief's, the race for the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. So that's how it works for our listeners.
That makes good sense. And since I'm counting on Army beating Air Force, you guys got all your high scoring done last week. This week, no, you're not going to be doing that. At least that's how I'm putting down my money.
Well, Denny, those things remain to be seen. As they say, that's why they play the game.
You know, we can talk all we want to, and the guys on the field have got to decide it. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're looking at last weekend's Service Academy football games and this weekend's. Speaking of this weekend, Navy's playing Temple, right?
They are, and when we last saw Temple, they were walking off the field of Mikey Stadium with their heads held low after Army beat them in overtime. So Temple is now going against Navy, and there's always an advantage when a team has at least seen the triple option at least once. So they have seen it now against Army. They're going against it again against Navy, so that should give them a leg up.
Well, folks, there's not much more to talk about football, but we've got a little extra time, and next weekend is Veterans Day. It all started with World War I ceasefire, or armistice, that began at 11 a.m. on the 11th day of the 11th month. It was called Armistice Day for years, as we honored those who served in World War I. Then it was changed to Veterans Day so we could honor all veterans of all of our wars, and that's what it is today. Many communities in our nation celebrate Veterans Day, most often with parades. So I hope you will go to parades and take your kids with you so that they learn to appreciate and honor veterans and to appreciate and honor our nation. However, I've noticed that many citizens, much less their children, don't have a clue as to the proper protocol when our flag passes in front of them during a parade. Quentin, you got a little bit on the protocol. It's not that hard, is it?
It really isn't, Denny. And I tell you what, the most important thing, of course, is to whenever you're doing it, when you stop and you pay respects, just as if you saw a funeral passing or anything else, it's just to be respectful is the number one rule. But as far as the protocol goes, first, of course, you should stand up, remove hats, place your right hand over your heart, stop any conversations you're having. And it's not necessary to salute every American flag that passes. If it's carried by an honor guard or in a group with other flags, you do want to stand up. Veterans can salute, or just, again, be respectful as the flag passes by. You do not salute small handheld flags that are carried by parade attendees and participants. And, you know, we have different organizations like the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and even the Pledge of Allegiance in school that, as it's done. So, you know, I think that respect to our flag and to our nation is given, and more than even that respect to the flag, we want to also live up to those ideals in our actions each and every day to provide that liberty and justice for all that it stands for. So that's a little bit about Veterans Day and our protocol to the flag as I salute to all the veterans and to you, Denny, for all that you've done, your service and your continued service with this show.
Quentin, that's why it's an honor for me, for you, for our team to keep serving veterans and to help our nation understand what's going on. Just to reiterate something Quentin said, very often during the national anthem or parade going by, whatever, many Americans will stand, but they won't stop yakking. Show respect. That's an important thing, and it means a lot to me, and it bothers me some when I don't see it. Well, friends, at this point in every show, going out forward, we'll be reviewing the games played the previous weekend by our Service Academy football teams. I'm counting on next week that we'll be talking about how Army beat Air Force, but that's just how I'm hoping. Quentin, thank you for your insights. I'm glad we're teammates and we'll love each other all the time except for about an hour and a half this weekend, right?
That's right. And, Denny, as we sign off, I just want to, again, just say the beauty of what we do is that our Service Academy players are playing, especially in the end, are going on to service for our country. So it's something bigger than just a football game when they match up.
That's why we play hard against each other, but we know we're going to be brothers in arms, brothers and sisters in arms, as soon as we step across the line. And that's why I root for Air Force every game they ever play, except when they play Army. And Quentin does the same for West Point, because we are brothers. It's not just something we go through, a pretty drill we go through. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You have reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench press and some good weights. I think 50 pounds should be enough. Do about 50 bench presses. I want you combat ready, then stand at ease.
This report is brought to you by the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. When a person is facing the difficult challenges that come with advanced illness, their pets can play a critical role in providing comfort in their final moments. Unfortunately, as families deal with the grief of illness and the loss of a loved one, those beloved pets may be overlooked or treated as an afterthought. Pet Peace of Mind is an organization that helps hospice and palliative care patients keep and care for their pets. Dr. Mia Carey, veterinarian and Pet Peace of Mind board member.
For many of us, our pets are like members of the family. In difficult times, a pet can provide the same sense of comfort and calm that a human family member might. When a patient begins hospice or palliative care, it can be challenging to make sure all of their pet's needs are met. Pet Peace of Mind allows patients to make their end-of-life journey gracefully with their loving pets right by their side.
For more information or to make a donation, please visit petpeaceofmind.org.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, let's open the mailbag. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please send your thoughts to me at danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Hey, Skip, what's first?
Chuck from Nebraska was very interested in the interview with Colonel Smith, the black soldier who fought in the Korean War. Chuck was surprised that there was very little prejudice in the Army, as reported by Colonel Smith.
Chuck, I did not grow up with or go to school with many, if any, blacks. My first real exposure was in the Army in the 1960s. I did not notice any prejudice, but that's not to say there wasn't any.
Jerry was impressed with the discussion on the Yom Kippur War. He didn't know anything about it, but he plans on learning all he can about Israel's wars. He does believe that Israel is a real friend to our nation.
Jerry, I agree with you. Israel does as much for the U.S. as we do for them. You'll be impressed as you learn more and more about their wars. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, I was thinking about my tour at Fort Knox, Kentucky. At the time, Fort Knox was the home of the Army's Armor Branch. It was an honor for me as an infantryman to be selected to attend the Armor Branch's advanced course located there. Most of my infantry peers were sent to the Infantry Officer's Advanced Course at Fort Benning. Back then, the advanced course was a 9-month training for captains and junior majors to prepare them for service on staffs of higher commands. There were well over 100 students in my class. About 20 were infantrymen. We banded together so we could pick on the armor guys. I helped devise a game of spring butt bingo. Each student who wanted to play got a standard bingo card, 5 boxes high and 5 boxes wide. In each box, he could write the name of one of our classmates. No single classmate's name could be used more than twice. Each time a student raised his hand to ask a question in class and was called on by the instructor, it was like calling a number in bingo. If you had his name on your card, you could fill it in. The first student to get coverall bingo had to stand up and ask a question with a phrase we had designed. The phrase would be something like, "Tanks are too slow," or "Infantry leads the way." That would end the game, and one of us would walk over and give him his prize. Despite my goofing off like this, I did graduate on the commandant's list, and not the commandant's other list either, Skip.
Well, Colonel, but my overriding question here is, you were at Fort Knox. Did they let you see the gold?
No, but there are a lot of fences with guards around them.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it's still there.
I hope you're right, now that you put it that way. Well, now it's time for military history. Lead out, Skip.
On 10 November 1775, during the American Revolution, the Continental Congress passed a resolution stating that 2 battalions of Marines be raised for service as landing forces for the recently formed Continental Navy. The resolution, drafted by future U.S. President John Adams and adopted in Philadelphia, created the Continental Marines and is now observed as the birth date of the United States Marine Corps.
And happy birthday, Skip, and to all the Marines.
Thank you.
But you deserve the honor of this day.
Well, and Colonel, one of the first things a Marine recruit learns is that the birthplace of the Marine Corps was in a tavern.
Yes, I know that too. On 10 November 1865, during the Civil War, Henry Wirz, a Swiss immigrant serving with the Confederate Army and was the commander of the Andersonville prison in Georgia, was hanged for his murder of soldiers incarcerated in his prison. While both sides incarcerated prisoners under horrible conditions, Andersonville deserves special mention for the inhumane circumstances under which the inmates were kept. A stockade kept thousands of men inside a barren and polluted patch of ground. Barracks were planned but never built. The men slept in makeshift housing called shebangs, constructed from scrap wood and blankets that offered little protection from the elements. A small stream flowed through the compound and provided water for the Union soldiers, but this became a cesspool of disease and human waste. Erosion caused the prisoners to turn the stream into a huge swamp. The prison was designed to hold 10,000 men, but the Confederates had packed into it more than 31,000 inmates by August of 1864.
Wow, that is amazing. I can't imagine living through that. Do you happen to know how many survived?
No, I don't, but more than half didn't.
Wow, that's amazing. On 11 November 1942, Congress approved lowering the draft age to 18 and raising the upper limit to 37. In September 1940, Congress, by wide margins in both houses, passed the first peacetime draft in U.S. history. The registration of men between the ages of 21 and 36 began exactly 1 month later. There were some 20 million eligible young men. 50% were rejected the very first year, either for health reasons or because 20% of those who registered were illiterate.
You know, I wonder how much different it is today if we were to do that, particularly in the health reasons area.
Well, the health and the literacy,
yeah,
I would think.
I see an awful lot of overweight youth.
It's hard to fight when you can't run forward.
On 9 November 1989, East German officials opened the Berlin Wall, allowing travel from east to west Berlin. The following day, celebrating Germans began to tear down the wall. One of the ugliest and most infamous symbols of the Cold War was soon reduced to rubble that was quickly snatched up by souvenir hunters. A piece of it stands here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, at the Gerald Ford Presidential Museum. I saw it when it was up in Berlin. It's every bit as nasty as they say.
On 6 November 2004, in an open letter to the Iraqi people and posted on the Internet, 26 Saudi scholars and religious preachers stressed that armed attacks launched by militant Iraqi groups on U.S. troops and their allies in Iraq were legitimate resistance. And we call Saudi Arabia a friend?
Well, the national religion of Saudi Arabia, supported by the government, is Wahhabi sect Islam. And Wahhabi sect Islam is among the most radical of all sects. So the Saudi government says that we're their friends, but they support their religion that supports terrorism around the world, including in the United States.
Yeah, I think they like us because we buy their oil.
That doesn't hurt. Well, that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for our Armed America Report. What do you have?
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. Listen, folks, evil exists. Someday evil will visit your door. Will you be ready? If you're not, now is the time to start looking into it and learning the skills necessary to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, this is a story of self-control and marksmanship by a brave, cool-headed woman with a small pistol against a fierce predator. It's another good reason to have a concealed pistol permit. Here's the story in her words. While out walking along the edge of a pond just outside my house in the Villages with my soon-to-be ex-husband discussing property settlement and other divorce issues, we were surprised by a huge 12-foot alligator that suddenly emerged from the murky waters and began charging us with its large jaws wide open. She must have been protecting her nest because she was extremely aggressive. If I'd not had my little Beretta 25 caliber pistol with me, I would not be here today. Just one shot into my estranged husband's kneecap was all it took. The gator took him easily, and I was able to escape by just walking away at a brisk pace. The amount that I saved in lawyer's fees was really incredible. His life insurance was a big bonus.
Colonel, when I first read that, I just died laughing, and I thought, that is just so strange. I mean, it's got to be a farce. It's all made up. But then I went on drudgereport.com, and I just looked at the news headlines, and I thought, all of these news headlines are real. These crazy, bizarre things in our screwed-up world. Is it possible that this really happened too?
Well, maybe, but probably she wouldn't admit it.
That's true.
You know, it's quite another thing to admit it to the media.
Yes. Well, I mean, this was a good laugh, and I appreciated this. But just so people get some self-defense wisdom out of this. If you're carrying a 25 caliber pistol for personal protection, it will work
on your ex-husband's kneecap, but don't expect it to work on a 12-foot alligator or even a full-sized human, for that matter.
Really?
Yeah, well, we call those mouse guns for a reason.
How about a 22 mag hollow point?
Well-placed, that would do the job, yes.
But it's got to be well-placed.
Yeah, the problem with those smaller caliber semi-autos is they just jam. They're famous for being unreliable. But revolvers blaze away.
I'm glad you said that, because that's what my wife carries.
Yeah, I know, and I'm very polite to your wife at all times. Because if she doesn't shoot me, you will.
You got a point there, Judge.
Okay.
So the moral of the story is go armed with a weapon that you know how to use, and don't try to use small calibers on alligators.
Yes, and if you shoot your ex-husband, don't talk about it on the radio.
That's a good point. Well, you know, some congressman admitted he didn't know we had troops in Niger. Isn't that just as stupid?
Yes.
Troops, we have two books to give away this week. The first is Doug Stanton's The Odyssey of Echo Company. That's in Vietnam. And Jim Corrigan's book, Desert Storm Air War. To get in on the drawing, email me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com, and put Echo Company or Desert Storm in the subject line. You'll have to send two emails to be in both drawings. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll celebrate Veterans Day. Medal of Honor recipient Jim Doc McCollin will join us to discuss his military service and his civilian service. Then we'll talk with the National Commander of the American Legion, Commander Denise Rowan, about Veterans Day. And we'll discuss the Constitution that we all took an oath to support and defend with former Michigan Chief Justice Bob Young.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you or your friends had guard, KP, or other duties that force you to miss any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Frontlines of Freedom. And join me next week to celebrate Veterans Day and for our military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the Frontlines of Freedom. Dismissed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and has now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com. That's EisenhowerCenter.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
No, it's hard to envision a foolproof way to prevent individual outrages.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, when being asked about the church shooting, which left 26 people dead and many more injured, McConnell also talks about the terror attack last week and if anything could have been done to prevent it.
Last week in New York, you had a person who figured out he could kill people by driving his automobile up on the sidewalk. It's a very, very challenging thing.
The FBI is investigating a pro-ISIS video that popped up on a hack school website in New Jersey. Bloomfield, New Jersey school officials say the video was up on the website yesterday for about 2 hours before School Desk, the company that maintains the website, removed it. School Desk says about 800 schools and districts were hit after a rogue file was injected into one of the websites. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Colonel Sanders from KFC here to talk about the good old days.
Well, the good old days are still here in chicken form. Specifically, in KFC's original recipe fried chicken with 11 herbs and spices. Our delicious chicken is still hand-breaded and pressure-fried just like it was then. Get your fill with two pieces of my original recipe in a $5 fill-up with mashed potatoes, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink at a KFC near you. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax extra.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Senator Jeff Flake is keeping up his criticism of President Trump. During an appearance on the left-leaning Daily Show, the Arizona Republican said President Trump's language can be too harsh.
Inventing nicknames for your opponents and things, that's